Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast.
Today I have Jared Parsons of Microsoft in part three of our discussion about C# 9. Today we're going to focus on pattern. Jared, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Well, other than my voice not being 100%, I'm doing fine.
Awesome. Well, good to hear. I hope your voice starts feeling better soon.
Thank you. You're keeping safe these days?
I am indeed. Spending a lot of time around the house trying to enjoy the weather. I filled my car up with gas for the first time in 3 months. That was exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, these become big deals now.
I know, it really is. It's like driving like more than a mile away from your house. It's like, that's an adventure.
My mantra is safe, healthy, and employed.
Yep, that's a good one. That is a good one.
Okay, pattern matching in C# 9.
Yeah. So,
go easy on us here.
So pattern matching is it's actually kind of a continuum of features that we've been working on since all the way back in C# 7. It's such a big feature and takes up such a big area space that we really kind of had two options in how we could deploy. And in C# 7, when we were kind of doing the implementation and getting part of the way through it, we reached a point where we said, okay, like pattern matching is this big space. And we kind of know how much runway we have left for C# 7. We have a couple of choices we could make. The first one is we could say, let's hold it back. Let's hold the whole thing back until we're done, until we have the entire spectrum of pattern matching complete. Or could we chunk pattern matching into a couple of different releases, give the community part of it in one release, and just keep building on it in future releases? And that is the approach we ultimately decided to go with. We said, okay, we're going to stop pattern matching at this point for C# 7, and then in C# 8, we'll get to see how much more of it we can get. And where we are with C# 9 is we're kind of, in some ways, at the end of the pattern matching journey. Like we have, through three releases, we have essentially now delivered on kind of the original vision we had almost 4 years ago for how this would work. And so it's really kind of exciting to get to this point where we are not done with pattern matching, and that as new features come out, we will continue to make sure that they're supported and potentially add some small new pattern, pull them in. But at the same time, this is kind of a fulfillment of the original vision that primarily Neil Gaffner had and how patterns should work in C#. And to give kind of a little bit of a review and a kind of mentality for patterns is patterns are a way of saying that, like, looking at a value in C# and basically kind of looking at it and saying, what shape does this value have? Like, I have an object and I want to know, like, is this a student? And is it a student with a specific name, or is it a student with a specific address? And these are all things that, like, these are all tests where if I told a C# who had never seen patterns before, said, hey, here's an object. Now, you go tell me if it's student and if it has this name. They could write that code. They could go off and say, okay, well, I can write a series. I could write an if statement that does a type check. I could store that into a local variable. And then I could do another if statement that said, okay, now let's see if that student, if the name value has this. And kind of the reason we embrace patterns over that is a lot of that if statement checking can be kind of tedious. Like, it can involve multiple levels of if statements. It can be involved you having to declare interrupt your if states by essentially having to declare local variables. So you'd have to essentially say, like, take an object, cast it to a, okay, if that student's not null, okay, now let's do like the next level test. And patterns, though, are much more expressive. Patterns are designed specifically to say, take this thing, start examining its shape, start doing tests on it, and make it so that we can do all of these tests in a very simple, concise expression that doesn't require a lot of intermediate steps to pull state. And the other real advantage that kind of patterns have is if you write traditional C# code, where you're checking, like doing type check, you're doing field checks, your quality checks, you're actually doing two things. One, you're testing to see if a value has a specific shape. And you're telling the compiler, this is the exact order in which I want to, you, because C# is a very structured language. We have definitive order of operations for everything. If you call a method, we understand, for instance, the first thing we evaluate is the receive object. Then we evaluate the arguments. We generally evaluate them left to right order from what you type. And all of these things, though, mean that the, like, it's good for creating a very understandable program. But when you're doing pattern matching, you kind of have to think about two different things. You have to think about, what am I trying to test? What values am I trying to extract from this object? And how do I do it in the most efficient manner possible? And so you have to think about both. But with pattern matching, the focus on pattern matching is very different. It's all about expressing. It's giving you the tools to tell us, these are the things that I am looking for. But they also do not have the rigorous specification of how it's going to be implemented. For instance, the compiler is essentially free to reorder patterns in a way that execute them as efficiently as possible. And like one kind of concrete example about this is, like, let's say that you wrote a switch statement to kind of examine all of the value, to basically take a letter and say, like, is this a Unicode? So I want to take like a series of bytes and I want to specify, is this a Unicode character? And if you wrote that in kind of straight line C# code, you would essentially have to either build up a really complicated switch statement where you list all of the Unicode character groups as number ranges. You'd have it very optimized to say, like, okay, fall from this one and do all these various. However, with pattern matching, it's actually very simple. You just say, is this character above this range, below this range, above this range, below this range? And the compiler can actually look at the totality of the pattern and generate the most efficient code possible to test that pattern. We can actually, for instance, like for the Unicode one, we can actually look at the data and say, well, the best way to do this is actually to emit a decision tree and to make very efficient guesses between these patterns. And in other cases, we can look at these very complex but very express a pattern and say, we can just emit a very simple switch case state. And so it basically, that really kind of captured goal is to basically give developers a very expressive and declarative way of looking at the shape of their data, but give the compiler the flexibility to emit it in the most efficient way possible. So in kind of C# 7 and 8, what we gave customers so far is a couple of things. The first one is we gave them the is pattern. Is something that goes all the way back to C# 1. You could say, for instance, like if some value is string, and that was just a very simple type test. It was basically a way of saying, hey, is this value a type? But if you wanted to then say, use that as a variable, the way you'd have to do that is you would say things like, if this value is this type, then declare a local of that type and then assign it to the value, or use the as expression. With C# 7, we made it much simpler. We said, now you can just say, if O is string S, and give like a nice declarative identifier that when it is true, you will have a local with the name S that is a type string and it is definitely a sign. The other thing we also gave is that in C# 7, we kind of really expanded on the power of switch statements. Up until C# 7, the power of a switch statement was really no different than a switch statement in C. So in C, you basically had a very simple numeric switch statement. C# improved upon it in a couple ways, and saying we didn't have implicit fall through and that you could switch on strings as well as numeric constants. Other than that, though, we really hadn't involved the switch statement since then. But now, once you get into C# 7, we said, okay, we're going to really expand on the capability of the switch in a couple ways. The first is switches can now operate on types. You can take a value and basically say, like, take and like switch on an object and say, like, case square or case circle, and do specific operations based on the current type. And we also introduced the idea of clauses. So you, for example, can say, like, well, I'm interested to know that this is a square, but only when the radius is less than 5. Or if this is a circle and I want to know when the diameter is greater than such and such.
You call that a closet?
A clause. It's a when clause. So normally, like if you're using a switch statement, you say like case 0 colon. Well, now you can say things like case square S when S dot width is greater than 5. And so it's just a very declarative way of saying like this is the shape of the data. And so that kind of is a lot of the expressivity that we gave C# 7. And then in C# 8, we kind of expanded on it in a number of different ways. The first one is that we introduced the idea of switch expressions. So in C# 7, we took the existing switch statements and we expanded on them with a lot of capability. But at the core, it is still a statement, and there are a lot of kind of legacy behaviors that we have for switch statements that we just really couldn't get rid of. Like we couldn't get rid of the fact that you have to have a break after every case because we don't allow implicit fall. There's a lot of subtle behaviors with nullabilities and conversions and switch statements that just meant that we were really restricted in the flexibility that we wanted to offer, and we had all these compats. It's really hard for us to afford. So in C# 8, we introduced switch expressions. And switch expressions are exactly that. It's essentially take a switch and make it so that it's a general expression. It is a something which returns a value. And it is also not limited to essentially the numeric and string style switch statements. It is a construct which has pattern matching at its core. Like when you do a switch expression, when you're doing 0, 1, 2 as your cases, you're not actually necessarily generating a very like easy switch table. Like you are saying, I'm looking for the pattern 0, I'm looking for the pattern 1. And we integrated that with switch clauses. And the other thing that switch expressions give us is they give us exhaustion. So if you're working with like a switch statement and you enumerate, like let's say you had like a byte or a tuple that you were switching and you enumerated in that switch all of the potential values, you took the time to labor out, well, I know that there are, you know, essentially 256 values in a byte, and I have cases for all of them. We still force you to put a default in a switch statement because the compiler is just not smart enough to know that you have already taken care of all of the possible. And so we still force you to put like the kind of the overriding catch. Switch expressions kind of have the opposite palette, where the switch expressions say that we are specifically looking at all the potential values that this thing could have. And if you do not handle all of them, we will tell you. So for instance, if you switch on an object, you say, well, what if it's a square? What if it's a circle? The compiler will actually say, well, there are a number of other cases you haven't captured here. If you must add kind of a catch-all to deal with this expression, or we are not going to compile the code. And so it's in many ways a safer construct because it forces you to be explicit about all the pieces of data. And when you miss it, it's going to catch you. The other thing we kind of add in C sharp.
That's an error and not a warning.
Yes. The other thing that I believe there's some cases when a warning and we emit throws when we hit those cases. There are cases where it's a warning and we actually just end up throwing in those cases, but we will tell you like these, you have missed some patterns and we will be basically throwing you if you don't add handlers for them. The other kind of big improvement that we add in C# 8 is this idea of properties. And property patterns are basically, it really kind of gets to the core of talking about the shape of a data. You can, for instance, say, like, I want to know, like, let's think about, like, kind of the simple example of points. Points are X and Y coordinates, typically ints. One thing you can do with patterns now is you can essentially say, like, I want to know if this is a point and there is and the property X has the value 3 or the property Y has the value 4. I want to say that like in the case that X is 3, I want to capture the value of Y no matter what the value is. I want to take that value Y and I want to assign it into a variable. And property patterns are really powerful because it really lets you, when you have particularly like object hierarchies and things like that, it really makes your if statements so much easier. Like one of the biggest when we were kind of doing these property patterns, we said like, okay, you know, you can have a property look for X in this value or Y in this value. As soon as we got it implemented, some of the younger devs on our team actually went around and started changing the C# compiler to patterns, because something that we do a lot in the compiler is we inspect syntax. Like we want to know, like, do these nodes have the, like, do you have a using statement with a null, or do you have a value with, are you constants over here? And so we have to do a lot of inspection of all of this kind of very different data. And we ended up using property patterns all over the compiler to really simplify the code that we were writing and make it much easier to understand. It was not clear to me like how impactful this feature would be for our own code base until we kind of had it in our hands and we just kept finding case after case this would be valuable. And with that, we also ended up adding some other patterns for some types. Like we have tuple patterns where you can actually like switch on a tuple. Like let's say if you had a tuple of like two booleans, you could actually switch on essentially open paren true, comma true, open paren false, comma true, and just really kind of enumerate all the possible states to, and the compiler, when you miss those states, it'll actually tell you like, hey, like you had this, like looking at the tuple, there are all these combinations that look like you had caught these cases, but not these cases over here. So it was a really like powerful upgrade into our pattern matching scenarios. And where we kind of really round this out in this most recent is we added relational pattern. And so this is very similar to essentially all the C-sharp developers are going to be familiar with, you know, and or patterns, and or not. So ampersand, pipe, pipe, or the bang. As I kind of started out with talking about, is that one of the advantages of pattern matching is that you are very declarative about what you're testing, and then the compiler can choose how do I emit the code in the most efficient way possible, given the full set of pattern. And that meant that while you could use like the existing ands and ors and nots in your code in certain, like in when clauses or in kind of joined expressions on top of pattern, we're in some ways kind of limiting the compiler. You're basically telling the compiler, this is both what I'm testing and this is exactly how I want to test it. Well, in C# 9, we added pattern versions of all of those options. And it is the literal word and, literal word or, and little the word not. And those, they behave conceptually exactly how C# developers expect to behave. But under the hood, because it's a pattern, we are not, the order in which we evaluate everything is not dictated. I mean, we still have to take advantage of short-circuiting when possible, but when we know that things are side-effect-free, we can actually choose to optimize the way in which we test code. And what that ends up meaning is that you can write really expressive patterns, like essentially like taking the classic examples, if you have a character, I want to know if it's a letter. You can just say, is it greater than A and less than Z? Great. Like that's something that's very easy to write. The compiler can look at it and it can emit the most efficient code possible for that pattern. Whereas before, without pattern matching, you really had to think about, okay, am I doing a numeric test? Will this numeric test emit the exact kind of like range checks that I want at compile time? Or is my expressiveness making this code slow to execute? And these patterns essentially were this idea of and or is really ingrained all the way through our pattern matching feature to the point where you can actually write like a very readable switch statements. Like you can essentially switch on an integer now and you can have before, like let's say you wanted to like have a switch on a number and you wanted to say, well, I want to, if the number is between 0 and 10, like I want to basically do something. Well, you would have to write switch on this value, case 0, case 1, colon, case 2, colon, all the way down to like case 10, colon. Then you actually write the numbers you're looking. Well, now you can actually just write case 0, you know, 2, 10. And this essentially expresses a range of values that we can now emit as valid code. And so overall, like we're really excited about all that's coming out in C# 9, because like I said, it is kind of the continuation of all the stuff that we've been doing. And we're really looking forward to having that in the bag of tricks for C# developers to use.